What's up and welcome to Kind of Funny Gains Daily. As you can tell, I am not Greg Miller.
Am I?
No, you're not either.
What's going on here?
Today is Thursday, July 20th. I'm Andrea Renee. Welcome to our daily video games podcast. I am joined by, do I have to call you the Irish Scream?
No, you don't. You did anyway.
Danny O'Dwyer.
This is supposed to be my respite for once.
While Greg's not here, let's pick a new name for you.
Okay,
it's good. What would you like it to be?
Oh, no, we're on the...
I'm putting you on the spot.
You are, and I'm kind of...
All right, you think about it.
I kind of like the
If you guys have some alternate names for Danny O'Dwyer, you could be part of the show. Join us at kindoffunny.com/KFGD.
Yeah,
and
it.
You guys can submit alternate names for Danny O'Dwyer than Irish Cream.
Because like
let's be honest, that's not that great. Greg, you could have done better.
It's my mom started calling me it now. It's weird.
Oh, no, really?
She just Skypes me and says, "Hey, Irish Cream. What's going on?" I'm like, "Hey, mom."
You guys can join us here each and every weekday at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Sure, of course, we're not answering any questions you put in the chat. You have to put all of those at kindoffunny.com/KFGD because this is a podcast and we enjoy the fact that you guys listen to us talk about video games. And now Danny and I are finally getting to do a show together.
Yeah.
If you guys have not yet subscribed to Kind of Funny Games Daily on podcast services, we would greatly appreciate it if you could do that. iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen, SoundCloud. I know there's a dozen places people can listen to podcasts these days.
Pod, Shuffle,
Overcast,
Overpod, just all over the place.
We would appreciate it if you guys could give us a nice review, leave us a rating, subscribe on those services, even if you watch live on Twitch or you watch on YouTube. So that would help us out a lot. So thank you so much for all of your support. And we've got some, do we have any other housekeeping? I think that's...
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Keep us honest, ladies and gentlemen. That's kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Danny's going to be manning that at the end of the show.
It's the best part of right now. It's just clean. It's like a newborn baby. There's nothing on it. Well, maybe like a newborn baby that's been washed, maybe.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Greg, of course, is at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, my God.
He's in a panel, I believe, we speak.
I saw him taking a selfie with quite a lot of people that I know from a lot of movies. So,
well, you know, he's got famous friends, Greg Miller. I'm going to be at San Diego Comic-Con tomorrow. I'm leaving immediately after the show is over to go to the airport. I'm hosting the Life is Strange Before the Storm panel with Deck Nine and Square Enix tomorrow night. So,
sweet.
Yeah, it'll be great.
I'll be here doing this. I'm not going to San Diego.
Keeping the show afloat,
right?
Danny O'Dwyer. Yeah. All right, so I think that's it for housekeeping. Kevin, correct me if I messed anything up. Good. Awesome. That means it's time for the Roper Report.
He almost missed it. That's fine.
Time for some news. Sound. That's how Greg does it, right? Kevin, you're getting good. Hopefully a month from now, you'll have mastered it.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner than a month from now. You could practice a little bit more. It's not like you're a busy guy or anything.
I practice all the time. Do you not hear me?
Yes, of course we hear you. So today on the Roper's Report, we have three items of news.
A baker's dozen!
Perfect. And today we're going to start with Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
So the first legendary Pokemon will arrive this weekend. According to Polygon, Pokemon Go is finally getting some legendary monsters. And this weekend, trainers around the world will be able to catch their first legendary Pokemon.
Ooh.
Pokemon Go Fest attendees will get first dibs on legendary monsters on Saturday, July 22nd at the event. Players who have tickets to this event in Chicago's Grant Park will have the chance to catch a legendary Pokemon during an epic raid battle. That is, if they catch enough Pokemon to unlock it first. Now, if they succeed in defeating it, Pokemon Go players everywhere will be able to start catching that same monster at their own local gyms.
Ooh.
Starting July 23rd, players will have their chance to team up and have legendary raid battles with their friends. These monsters will be much the same as typical Pokemon, except they won't be able to defend gyms.
Mm.
Other than that, they'll be great for showing off in battle or to friends via your Pokedex.
Yeah.
So, are you still playing Pokemon Go? Did you play Pokemon Go?
It's the hot new game everyone's playing right now. I did play it when it first came out. I played it. I used to walk around Lake Merritt in Oakland having a go of it. When I went to Ireland, me and my buddies, you know, you could get those maps where you could like hack where people, where Pokemon were popping up. And
right.
So we'd get in the car and like use it. Yeah, totally. And like, there's a Snorlax up, you know, behind De La Salle College. Let's go find it. So we did a bunch of that as well. But like most people, I tapered off, you know, a couple of months in. What about yourself?
I dabbled very briefly when it came out. I also did a special piece for Playboy Gaming last April when San Francisco had a Poke Crawl.
Oh, right.
I don't know if you went to it or heard about it,
no.
But it was thousands of people on the streets. If you guys want to see just how many thousands of people I'm talking about, that video still exists on the Gamer Next Door YouTube channel. You can watch it. Andrea Renee's Poke Crawl, I think it's called.
Right.
It was a really interesting experience meeting so many people who are so invested in the Pokemon franchise.
Right.
People who are cosplaying, people who've been playing since they were kids, and everyone was comparing, you know, techniques at gyms and who has what in their Pokedex. And it was really fascinating and a really fun experience. And it was interesting to see how a single game could really unite this giant community of players.
Did you get the sense that the people who were at that were folks that had like, because what was this? You said April
of last year.
So were these people who were still playing it, or were these people who were who had kind of fallen off and were jumping back in?
No, this was last year.
Oh, this is before it came out.
When
did it come out?
It came out last year.
It did, around that time.
Yes.
Okay, so that was hot off the
press. It came out in like February, I think, was when it came out.
For some reason, I had it as a summer game.
Well, it was really big over the summer.
Right.
Right. So
I wonder if they did a crawl. Well, I guess this GoFest is going to be a good example of that. Like, if they do one now, how many people turn up? And are they folks who have continued to play, or will this get, you know, armchair Pokemon Go players back out there?
I mean, it might. If you guys are playing, you know, let us know. Leave us a comment below, or, you know, write to us, tweet to us, whatever. Let us know if you're still playing Pokemon Go. I think, you know, adding the legendary Pokemon is coming a little bit late, but
yeah.
I had the opportunity to speak to the folks at Niantic at the Game Awards earlier. So that was, what, December? And one of the things that they said was obviously the reaction worldwide was much bigger than they anticipated.
Yeah.
Clearly they had server issues and other technical problems throughout the launch of that game. And so they weren't able to implement some of the creative content that they wanted into the game as soon as they could, because they were focused on just making sure the game wasn't broken and that it was functional for as many players as possible in as many territories as possible. So
they're kind of getting around to it now.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, they also made hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
So clearly they were able to increase their work force, get more people on board.
But it's probably, you know, it is the thing where like, it's a shame where they couldn't get a lot more creative content, as you said, out sooner. But you also don't necessarily want to rush that stuff. So at least hopefully they're doing a good job of it now. I mean, this does sound like the type of thing where it's extra content for the game, but it's also like the visible thing that works with this game so much is these big events where there's all these people. And if they have this like epic raid and it's essentially like a couple of thousand people with their phones out in the middle of a park, like that's the type of thing that's going to get people talking about it. You know, that'll be like pictures shared on social media and news crews probably and everything. So that's probably what they need to kickstarted again. It seems like it's a little bit late in the summer, though. I would have thought that it would have come out swinging for when
like in June,
schools are out and like people are walking around a lot more. I mean, we kind of live in an evergreen part of the world. It's always kind of nice out here, but like you tend to get people in other parts of the country, like in other parts of the world.
Like where I'm from,
summertime.
North Dakota,
right?
Where there's snow on the ground like 6 months
a year, right? So when it's gone, you're like, all right, we're going outside.
Exactly.
So it's maybe a little bit late on that end, but better late than never, I guess.
Yeah, true. All right, I think it's time to maybe move on, unless you have some deep Pokemon thoughts you would like to share.
I'm looking forward to hearing what people think about this. I think I'm looking forward to seeing what the reaction. This will kind of be like the...
Are you going to go out and try to get this legendary Pokemon?
I'll probably give it a go again. Like, I did have fun with it. I was more into the social aspect of it than I was like trying to hunt them all down, because I'm like, man, this is too many of them. I got all these eggs. I got to hibernate these eggs. And
I
got like,
to walk to hatch the eggs.
Yeah, it's like, I just like love like when stuff appeared outside my house. And I lived like, there was like two gyms on the way to the bus when I was going to GameSpot every day.
Uh-huh.
And like now I work from home. So like my main initiative or like situation to go get Pokemons is now completely gone. So
I heard a really good hack from somebody that said if you tape your phone to
like a dog,
to a ceiling fan,
what?
It'll like simulate you walking if you keep it on a slow speed.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, that's a really good cheat.
I could tape it to my cats and then it would simulate sleeping. most of the day.
Oh, so, no. Probably okay, moving on. Next up, new Nintendo trademark filing gives hope for N64 Classic.
Oh my God.
So, of course, we've all speculated that this was going to happen given the success of the NES Classic and the upcoming success we can anticipate for the SNES Classic once it launches. So from GameSpot, Nintendo's next microconsole, the SNES Classic, is set to launch this fall, but that might not be the end of the company's retro plug-and-play line. A new trademark filing suggests that a miniature Nintendo 64 could also be on the way. The filing in question is for a controller that appears identical to that of the Nintendo 64. Nintendo recently...
Are they sure?
I mean, have you seen the photos?
I mean, it's impossible to like look at an N64 controller and think it's something else.
That's true. It is the weirdest controller ever created. Nintendo recently applied for a trademark for the distinctive three-pronged gamepad with the European Union Intellectual Property Office. Now, this comes via NeoGAF. The application is listed under goods and services, which suggests the trademark pertains to a physical product. SNES Classic, meanwhile, releases in the U.S. and Europe on September 29th and comes with 21 of the console's best titles, including the never-before-released Star Fox 2.
Yeah, this really looks like an N64 pad.
Yeah. You guys can find the image pretty much anywhere online right now. This news has spread far and wide. But yeah. And these stories came out ahead of the SNES Classic and ahead of the NES version as well. So it's looking like we are going to get a mini one. Yeah. So, I mean, why not? That was my favorite of the Nintendo consoles, N64.
And it does seem like we talked a bit about this yesterday. I was having Greg about how they're like the generationality of video games and how like, you know, everyone's first Mario Kart is their favorite Mario Kart and all that. And to some people, like the NES Classic is like the be all end all. I feel like probably for us, maybe SNES Classic is probably the one that has the most nostalgia. But then to a lot of folks, N64 would be equally as nostalgic. And in fact, then you're basically collecting all the people who played SNES games as teenagers and maybe in college and stuff were super into the N64 and things like that. Or maybe in their later teens. So like,
or everybody,
right? It's a no-brainer. And it also like all of these consoles, like I think that it kind of stops after that. Like my first real Nintendo console was a GameCube. So for me, it's kind of like,
wait, really?
Yeah, I grew up playing Commodore stuff.
The NES?
Commodore Amiga was basically my at home. That was like a lot of European people were either playing Atari, Commodore 64, or Amiga 600 and stuff like that. Spectrums, stuff like that.
So did you get the Classic? Have you gone back and played those
games? I have
games?
Since bought the old consoles. Kind of when I was later in my teens and stuff, then I started going back and getting a bunch of stuff. But it wasn't my first NES. I only got like last year. I played SNESs in like my friends' houses and stuff when I was a child. I wasn't like, I had not played them. But yeah, like I hadn't owned any of that stuff until recently. I got my first Dreamcast last year as well. So
I mean, that's a waste of time. So if Greg was here, he'd get mad, but not here.
So it's kind of a no-brainer for them to do this. It's got such a great suite of games as well. Like,
so many. I mean, that's, I think, going to be the challenge, you know, if Nintendo continues making these classics, is that how do you wheedle down the library of games? Because, you know, as we moved forward with each generation of console, the libraries just got bigger.
Right.
And so.
You're right, yeah.
Like, if they had to pick 20 games.
Yeah.
For the N64 Classic, I mean.
So I'll do back and forth. I'll start it off.
You start.
So GoldenEye.
Avi.
Yeah.
I mean, Mario 64.
Yeah. Majora's Mask. They need a little spice in there.
Yeah.
A little bit of,
yeah. You know? Why not? Mario Kart 64.
Okay.
My favorite Mario Kart.
Let's go for like pack-in stuff. Like, I don't know, Wave Racer. I feel like everyone played.
I love Wave Racer.
That was one of those games that like sold it. You're like, games can look like that, you know, because that was like 3D, super nice frame rate.
64 bits, like, man.
And water effects. Like water effects have been selling games for donkey's years. Like I remember playing the first Far Cry basically just because of its water effects.
Turok N64.
Man, okay. yeah, Turok, Jesus. Let me have a look. I'm sure there's got
are we going to look?
Here.
Should I look up a list?
Donkey Kong 64.
Yes, Avi.
People like that game, but I don't think it's actually very good.
What?
Like, yeah, I don't know.
Why don't you think it's very good? It's now, like you're going to have to defend yourself.
It's like
now.
If you go back and play Crash Bandicoot now, like those games aren't really. I'm sorry. Tim Geddes isn't here.
You mean the original, not the remake that just came out?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, either probably, right? If you play like Crash is like a game that sells on nostalgia. Like it was a fun, kooky looking, you know, 3D ass game on a PlayStation, but like it's also like the world's most infuriating platforming game.
Okay. I'm not gonna double down on that. I didn't spend too much time on Crash, but
Perfect Dark,
Star Fox 64. Okay. We've got Pokemon Snap.
Yeah.
There's of course Ocarina of Time.
Never heard of it.
F-Zero-X. I thoroughly enjoyed that game. But there really wasn't an F-Zero game that I didn't like.
The first Paper Mario, I've never actually played that.
Super Smash Bros.
Right.
From 1999.
Bomberman 64. That was probably a good one. I like the Genesis one. The Mega Drive one. Sorry, Europe. My bad.
Dude, there's so many good games. You got Resident Evil 2. Cruising USA, one of my all-time favorite games of all time. It's on my top 10 list of all time. Cruising USA.
What's Body Harvest?
I've literally
never heard of that, but it looks rad. It's called Body Harvest. That's a badass name.
Okay, so we've talked about a couple games that we would like to see.
Gex.
On the N64 Classic. Let us know what you guys would like to see. Let's get a good list going. Mm. Okay, so when do you think this is going to come out? So if the NES was last year, the SNES was this year, do you think that this could come out next September or next holiday?
The weird thing is about the NES, the SNES Classic, is I feel like they could have like a retail cycle on that for like 2 years easily. We're probably going to run into supply issues, let's be honest. Like it's going to be crazy. Christmas, like holiday stuff, means you're going to get mainstream people trying to buy it as well as all of us. So like they could easily spin into next year.
People who don't, what does that
like
mean?
Mainstream folk, as in like people who don't like own a home console, but like they're buying, like Christmas presents are difficult, but if you know somebody who
doesn't have like an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 or a Nintendo Switch, but they would go buy the N64.
Yeah, because they'd be like, oh, maybe playing those games when we were kids. Like the loads, like my brother, right? Who like loves games, but just he's got kids and he's got a job and he just doesn't have time for it.
Yeah.
Like you could totally see them getting something like that for a couple of quid, you know? So I feel like a lot of the, what'd you say? Couple of quid. Yeah. That's what you signed up for. Every once in a while, Irish guy says couple of quid. Top of the morning to you. Kevin, you know what your name is in Irish? Quiveen.
No, I don't think
there
so.
There you go. It is.
Nah.
I swear to God.
Ask
Amy Gills. Amy Gills.
Yeah,
I don't know what Andrea is. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Quiveen. I used to go to school with a guy called Kevin McSweeney. He was Quiveen McSwivener. Sounds like a Klingon or something, yeah. Anyway, so I digress.
I'm a 1/16th Irish.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm like a quarter English, according to I did that DNA thing.
Oh.
And they spit in a jar and then like 6 months later, they let you know. I swear to God, you literally spit in a jar. There's a bubble line. They're like, make sure the bubble's up to here.
Keep
like,
spitting.
Yeah, it never give us that Irish cream.
No, that went to a dark place.
Yeah, so, hey.
Okay.
That's where you get the red hair from.
I'm trying to hold it together. Actually, you as an Irishman know that red hair is not an Irish thing. No, it's dark hair, blue eyes. That's the Irish thing.
Pretty much, yeah. Freckles sometimes.
Yeah.
If it's sunny.
It's sunny. Like everyone gets freckles when it's sunny.
I get sunburned.
Well.
Sorry. I'm really turning this into Irish corner a minute. But I got sunburned here and here. Two
for
days
people
ago.
Listening, he is pointing to the underside of his forearm.
Yes.
Well, you're not really supposed to get burned because you don't have any melanin there.
No, but I was walking around my hands behind my back.
Wait, the whole time?
I guess I saunter like that. I didn't realize until I got home and I had like the Irish stigmata on my on my wrists. Yeah, so anyway,
I'm glad to see there's no permanent damage. You're okay. You moisturized.
It's gone to a normal level
peeling.
Of red that I...
Did you shed some layers of skin?
I put a lot of aloe vera on it.
Good.
So it was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Because if you get sunburns, that can cause permanent damage, which can lead to skin cancer.
I know. It's not good.
Yeah.
Especially when you're an Irish person in the global warming hell spot that is west coast of America.
Yes.
So...
Well, luckily, we're not too far south.
That's true.
We're not that close
like
to the
San
equator.
Diego, for instance. Watch out, Greg Miller. Watch out, Andrea.
Wear your sunscreen.
Yeah.
I live for the sun. I'll be fine. Okay, we digress.
Yeah.
Back to the news. Number three, John Romero is the Doom guy.
Yeah.
This was some interesting news. So from his blog, the body model I took...
Oh yeah, so should I contextualize this for you?
Yeah, how about you do this?
Sure. So John Romero's got this blog, Rome.oro, which is pretty good URL, where he like randomly sets up these stories about old Doom stuff, right? And I went to interview him for No Clip Stuff back in January. He is just like, he has like this thing. I used to think he just never shuts up about Doom, but he has like this unbelievably good memory where he like retains, like I asked him about interviews he had done years before and he remembers everything about them. Like he just has like a photographic memory or something. I don't know what it is. So one of the things he was talking about was they were basically doing the Doom box art, the like famous shot of the Doom Marine standing on the thing with all the demons coming up to get him. And he's like shooting one and handing off another one. He was talking about how they basically got in a body model to like do the shot and then the artist was going to like draw around it, but they needed some sort of framework for it. So he said, the body model, this is in the id Software offices, I'm guessing the old ones, in Mesquite, I guess. The body model took off his shirt and started posing with our plasma gun toy. Don asked us for suggestions, as the photographer. So I asked it, started telling him that the Marine was going to be attacked by an infinite amount of demons. It would be cool if he was on a hill and firing down at them. The model was holding the gun in various positions and none of them were interesting to me. He did this for about 10 minutes. This poor man. He's like topless in a shirt full of programmers doing this. He did it for about 10 minutes and we just didn't see anything that we thought looked cool on the cover. I kept telling the model what to do, but he couldn't see the scene in his mind. Frustrated, I threw off my shirt and told him to give me the gun and get on the floor. Grab my arm as one of the demons defeated, he deferred. I aimed the gun in a slightly different direction and told Don, this is what I'm talking about. Don took several pictures. I moved the gun some. The demon grabbed my leg, other arm, etc. At the end, we all decided the arm grabbing pose was going to be the best. And that's the story of how the cover composition was created. I am the Doom guy.
That is incredible.
Like, my favorite part of that story is, like, he also took his shirt off. Like, was the Doom guy's not topless.
No, like, he's in armor.
Why are they taking their shirts off? It's like, for effect?
Maybe he just needed to really, you know, go into his masculine psyche, tap into that right. testosterone to really feel like he was superpowered. I don't know.
When you look at the cover.
I mean, oh, okay. So as Kevin has pulled up here, the cover of Doom, and Doom Guy has a cutout.
It's so bizarre.
A midriff cutout, which I didn't notice before. He also has a cutout on his pants.
Now it's all I see.
So you can see his six pack abs, like underneath his like very chiseled pectoral muscles.
The one on his leg looks like he's been cut.
Right.
The one in on his abs,
it's just
looks like
gratuitous ab.
It's just like, yo, check out my abs.
Ab leering.
I'm wearing like metal armor, but feel free to shoot me in my midsection.
He's gonna kill a demon on those abs. Cut glass with those abs.
Also, my armor's, you know, short sleeve because, you know, sometimes it gets hot out.
Welcome to being a woman in all video games.
Right. Oh yeah, good point. I'd never noticed that before.
Somehow, you know, we just cover the boobs and everything else is exposed.
Right. Yeah. That's most important,
including our butts, because right. Who needs armor on their butt? Me. I want armor on my butt.
When people are shooting women, they're always trying to shoot the boobs.
Right.
That's clearly the way it works.
Yeah. Video games. Okay, so this was an interesting story, and we had somebody on the website, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, get involved with the show. G Dub says, hey, Danny G-dub. And Andrea. Actually, it says, hey, Andrea and Danny, with the news that Doom DLC is going free for everyone, what are your thoughts on a developer doing this 14 months after releasing the game and completely nullifying the season pass that many people paid for? On one hand, it is a way to save, reignite a multiplayer community, but on the other, it turns the season pass into almost a subscription that now means nothing less than a year and a half. That means nothing less than a year and a half after the game was released. Absolutely love what both of you bring to the show. Thanks, G-Dub.
Yeah, this is such a difficult balancing act. I mean, I think if the DLC was more single player stuff, I would be more sympathetic to players in this situation. But knowing that like it's all essentially multiplayer modes, which has in essence fragmented an already probably not particularly large multiplayer crowd, I can see the fact that they waited a year and a half, I guess. It came out in... I'm trying to think. We did the doc back in November, so I think it was April or something of last year it came out, maybe March. Mm-hmm. The fact that they waited like that long, at least a year, is at least something. And in a way, you can see that perhaps they're not really giving away the season pass, but it's kind of bundled in with the game. So people are paying for it, but they're paying less for the game, if you can sort of maybe think about it that way, it's easier pill to swallow. But yeah, it does suck to, like, nobody wants to pay extra for something and then be treated like, you know, like you got had, basically.
I mean, I think this is a little bit of an unfair hill to die on for this guy, for GW. Like, listen, I get it. You paid for something and then it became free. But 14 months later, that's
right.
Over a year later, and as you mentioned, it was multiplayer content. People who are still active in a multiplayer game that isn't constantly releasing updates like a Call of Duty or Battlefront or Battlefield, just to name a couple of the large franchises. I mean, I don't think that this is Bethesda doing the community wrong. I think they're saying, hey, our servers are almost empty. Right. The only people left playing Doom multiplayer are like the hardest of the hardcore fans.
Who probably most of them have the DLC, right?
Right.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, and so they're saying, hey, if we want to get more people in the servers to make the experience better for existing players and new players, I mean, giving it away for free I don't think is a crime.
Right.
I think this is fine.
And maybe it solves that problem where instead of, creating, because I am just guessing that if somebody waited this long to play Doom, they probably aren't necessarily going to then go out and buy all the DLC for the game.
Right, so, exactly.
You know, at least that will hope, I'd love to see numbers on how many people are actually playing Doom multiplayer. I mean, I played it at launch and I also played it, I guess it was 14 months and I played it half a year later when we were capturing stuff for the Doom doc. We actually ended up not doing anything about the multiplayer stuff because it didn't actually really make that. But I played a bunch of it and even then it was kind of like spotty, and there was a bunch of different game modes. So you're kind of like, oh, just go into the, whatever comes up first, kind of like lucky dip servers instead of being particular about it.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. Like I agree with you. I think it sucks. But it's also like, come on, you got all that stuff for all that time. And hopefully this is also benefiting you as a player if they get more people.
Get more people on the server. The more the merrier.
The more the merrier.
I think it's fine.
Just give all games away for free.
Well, hold your horses. Not quite that. All right. So that's it for news. Danny.
Yes.
Have you been practicing?
Oh, God damn it. I was hoping you didn't know about this.
What do you mean? Of course I know about this. I listen to the show when I'm not on the show.
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every day.
You nailed it!
Really? Ba-da-ba. Yes!
Nice work, boys!
I was covering my face, but then realized I was still looking this way, and I thought, oh, people are going to think I'm looking at it.
No, so he didn't look at the script. He did it from memory. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did a great job. So this list may be a little incomplete. Fair warning. So again, at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You can correct us if we've left stuff out of this list. Right, out today, Boost Beast. This is a digital title on Switch.
I just want to say it's a great name for a video game.
Yeah.
Boost Beast.
Boost Beast.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Crypt Crawler.
Also, we're on an alliteration home run here. Keep going.
On Oculus and Gear VR.
Right.
Samurai Showdown.
What is going on?
What?
We're just...
Oh, the alliteration.
Samurai Showdown, Crypt Crawler, Boost Beast.
Also on Switch, then, of course, the 93 classic from Neo Geo. And then Lone Echo is also on Oculus.
I added that. I kind of wish I hadn't now.
Why?
Because it's ruined broken the cycle.
Yeah. But we did get to play Echo Arena.
Oh, you did.
Me and the kids.
Yeah.
It was really fun. That video is coming out next week, Kevin, August 1st. The week after next.
I think so.
So keep a lookout for that. It got pretty shenanigan-y.
Right, yeah. Tim also got pretty sick, it sounds.
4v4. Oh, did Tim get sick?
Apparently he got motion sick and had to go outside. Yeah.
I could see how you could get sick in that game because it's a lot of like fast movement and boosting and you're like floating. It's
like Ender's Game-y kind of disc throwing. Yeah. And that's...
It was fun though. I had a good time.
Cool.
We all got really sweaty though. So I kind of felt bad when we left. I was like, here's your sweaty Oculus back.
You got because the face part.
Yeah,
does,
VR face.
It? Yeah, it's really
It's a thing. New dates. Not really any new dates except for one. One Piece Unlimited World Red Deluxe Edition is coming on September 29th for the Switch eShop. It was previously announced for other platforms. That's Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for August 25th. So this is interesting that it's coming a month later for Switch, but at least it's coming to Switch for people who are One Piece fans.
That's
cool. Do you play One Piece?
I do not. My anime, that is an anime, right?
Yes.
Well, yes. Answer finishes the rest of the question.
Okay.
I like Cowboy Bebop, a couple of other things, and that's about it.
That's not a problem.
But it's cool to see I mean, I like the idea that some of the smaller, you know, developers are not, some of the big AAA guys are also saying, hey, it's actually worthwhile for us to put this out on Switch. Like, yeah. Maybe it's not particularly difficult to port it over as previous consoles, Nintendo consoles, and there's a market. So why not?
There you go.
I probably go into the eShop on my Switch more than I do on my PlayStation and Xbox One. Like, to specifically go download a game quick for something. Like, for a flight or, you know, you're going to Comic-Con,
or when you
right?
forget your Zelda game card at home and you need to buy it again.
No. Did you have to do that? Did your save work?
Because the save was John's save, and so I started a new save.
Okay.
We were going to Europe, and I've, what better time to play Zelda than on a 10-hour flight across the Atlantic Ocean?
Totally. I just did that.
Yeah. And so we got to the airport, and I went to go boot it up, and I was like,
what was in there?
Like, Mario Kart. One, two, so that was switch. Good. Right, no, okay. Mario Kart. So I had a fun time playing that until we got to an internet where I could download it. But
right.
Yeah, so I paid for that game twice.
Nice. Hey, if there's a game to play twice for...
Zelda is fine. Yeah. All right, deals of the day. This comes from Top 5 Bananas.
Top 5.
He says, PSA, totally digital sale on PSN includes The Witness, Inside, and the Kevin-endorsed Snake Pass.
Nice. Ooh. Kevin endorsed. Kevin loves those snakes.
PSN is having a totally digital sale. You guys can check that out.
Three great games. Really like all those games.
Those are all great games.
If you want to watch a documentary on The Witness, your boy O'Dwyer's got you. Yes. No clip video. Check it out.
All right. Reader mail. Now, unfortunately, because I do have to skedaddle to the airport to go to Comic-Con, we're cutting the show a little bit short today than it normally would be. So apologies.
All right. See you later.
That's it. We're done.
Let's go, Kev.
So I'm going to skip that first one and go down to this one from Ryan. Ryan writes into us at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, hello to the busiest lady in the business and our sweet Irish cream. I was excited when we found out you'd be co-hosting together for the first time. Then it dawned on me that you are both former GameStop employees. I'm a current store leader and as such, hyper aware of the internet's deep, burning desire to see the specialty retailer go the way of other brick and mortar dinosaurs like Blockbuster and Strawberries. Do you see, I don't know Strawberries, but apparently it's mostly music. Do you see the company's days as numbered, or is the move to all digital within the industry still so far out that they will have time to adapt and rebrand? They already seem to be making big moves with the acquisition of ThinkGeek and infusing locations with pop culture, collectibles, and hard goods, as well as increasing market share in the cellular space. Are these high margin additions enough to overcome lost sales from digital and online retailers? Is there anything you think they need to do better, either from a product or service perspective, to shore up their chances? What about a potential buyout? Coming from a location in mostly rural part of New England, far removed from conventions and other hubs of geek culture, our store is a destination for like-minded guests to converge and share their passions with staff and other guests. It would be a shame to see it go the way of the dodo bird. Thanks for your insights, and so glad to have you both as members of the team. Kind of funny.
Thanks, Ryan.
P.S. Andrea, it is pronounced Lara.
There was a big Lara Croft thing.
I did a shtick thing about Lara Croft when I hosted a segment at E3 2015 in the Xbox booth, and I asked one of the members of the development team at Crystal Dynamics. I was like, set the record straight.
Yeah.
How do you say her name? And they said Lara.
Yeah.
So, but
Lara.
If you look at the video game, though, characters in the game say her name differently.
What did they say?
Like Laura. Some of them say as
Lara Croft. Okay.
Yeah, it's a thing. Anyway,
my wife's American. I'm Irish. This sort of shit happens on a minute by minute basis in our house.
So, Ryan, thank you very much. This is a very insightful question that you have posed to us.
Yeah.
So.
I feel like you've got particular insight into the business aspect of this that I don't. I worked brick and mortar. I worked behind the till at a bunch of different games places. I worked at a GameStop. Don't say GameSpot. although I also did work there for like probably maybe 3 years over the course of a bunch of different places.
Yeah.
I feel like you sort of know it from a more business perspective. You have better insight into that than I do.
Well, I mean, my access to, you know, the business side of GameStop was pretty limited. I did get the opportunity to interface with the executives a few times, and obviously went to GameStop manager show a couple of times as well. And, you know, from my perspective, GameStop is doing well. There's this perceived notion that they are struggling and that they're failing, but really they're not. They're doing okay because they've diversified their brand in such a way that they've been able to bolster the waning sales of retail discs with digital sales, with merchandise sales through ThinkGeek, and as he mentioned here, cellular space. So many people don't realize that GameStop owns a lot of cellular stores under brands Simply Mac and Spring Mobile. So this is all like publicly available information because they are a publicly traded company on
so those are like
on the Fortune 500.
Phone reseller? Like
right, so AT&T stores essentially where you can go in and buy phones and buy plans and things like that. And so that makes up a big chunk of their business.
Okay,
Danny and I were looking at their quarterly, their first quarter 2017 results for sales and numbers and things like that. And their total global sales are up 3.8%, which is great.
Year on year, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So so it's increased to $2.05 billion, it says here. Comparable store sales growth of 2.3%. New hardware sales increased 24.6%, led by the highly sought after Nintendo Switch. And new software, though, declined 8.2% due to tough overlap of a few key AAA titles that launched last year. So this is, I think, what a lot of people assume is that because of the digital movement, stores like GameStop are going to suffer. And I'm not saying that they haven't. Clearly, they've had to diversify what they're doing and really branch out their business to keep their overall financial picture healthy. But they are doing a really great job of changing how they're running stores. When I left GameStop earlier this year, they were just on the verge of changing up the content that is broadcast in stores, GameStop TV, which I was a part of for a long time. They're doing some really interesting stuff now with Rooster Teeth, and I know Kinda Funny has worked with them as well and been at GameStop Manager Show and Expo and things like that. And, you know, they are really trying to tap into this community in a really meaningful way. The thing that I always like to reiterate to people is I had an overwhelmingly positive experience working with GameStop.
Right.
Sometimes they get a reputation of not being as in line with the community as they truly are. I mean, there's sometimes people online like to pit them against mom and pop shops, like this big corporate overlord against these tiny stores. And that's really not how they see their business. They don't look at it as like, oh, we have to crush the competition. You know, I mean, obviously they are, they stack up against other retailers that way, like Best Buy, Walmart, Target, etc. But I mean, they really want to embrace the gaming culture and serve that community as best as they can. And we've seen that through the acquisition of ThinkGeek and how now when you go into GameStop stores, you see merchandise everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really front and center. It's a big part of what they do in stores now. They have a dedicated Steam section inside stores. Now, so really bringing the PC gaming community into the fold.
They sell digital codes all over the place as well.
Exactly, for DLC, you can buy digital codes directly from GameStop for, you know, AAA retail games as well. And so I think that they are doing well. Could they be doing better? Of course, but are they going to fail? I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I feel like the move towards merchandise and all that sort of stuff makes a lot of sense as like gaming culture, like the way it exists now is very different to like, I remember going to the game stores in my local town. It's like a small enough town, 40,000 people. And like the game shop that was there, like it was a small community of people that were into it. Whereas like games are so much more popular now, so much more mainstream that you can sort of support a business, I feel, with selling merchandise and sort of, you know, the stuff that exists outside of the periphery of the actual software sales. I mean, you go into a Hot Topic now and it's half video game stuff there as well. So I think that makes a lot of sense for them. I mean, they do have that bad reputation of being like a hard sell, which also if they're selling less games and there's less of that pressure, that's kind of a good thing. You're not going in and buying a game and they're asking like, and I was part of that machine, right? And you ask like 20 questions and try and sell somebody a Game Informer subscription. But like, you know, if financially, I know they were shuttering a couple of shops a couple of years back, but I think the world of like game sales has changed a lot. But I still think they've got things like hardware. People are always going to go to a store to buy it. There are certain people who will just don't buy that type of expensive item over the internet. You know, there's always going to be stuff that people want to see firsthand, controllers, amiibos, like there are certain things that you just don't necessarily want to buy off the internet. So I think that probably helps as well. But yeah, it's a weird thing, like to hear that he's from like a store in rural New England, right? Where that's like, that's the hub. Like if you have that community around it, then I can totally see how if you're facilitating people within that community, then there's enough, you know, you'll have enough sales to be relevant. I mean, I was from a town that had video game stores that were independent that I worked at that couldn't compete with GameStop, and then I ended up working at GameStop. So I do think that there has been a negative effect on some mop-and-pop places.
I'm not trying to, like, for the record, I'm not trying to say that effect is not, like, out there, that hasn't happened. Of course it has. But from the perspective I have of working, you know, with GameStop, they aren't actively trying to, like, close those places down. Right. They're not, like, these evil people who are, like, you know, trying to destroy people's businesses. That's not what they're doing.
There's actually a really good article. I forget who posted it on, and I think it's, I hope it, no, it's Polygon. Polygon did an article about some mom and pop stores in rural America recently. I think it was on Tuesday or something, which is pretty good insight into like how everyone's doing in that space as well. And interestingly enough, they're doing the same stuff. They're getting into merch. They're getting into like building community and stuff, you know? So it like, I think what we think about games retail has changed. I think if you were to judge the health of them on software sales, like, sure, there's probably more being sold online. But to your point, like, yeah, like...
It's so much more than that.
Right, totally. And if you're in a mall, and if you are a human being, you find yourself in a mall pretty often, more so when you're a teenager probably. But if there's a game store, like, you're always going to go into it, and there's always a chance you're going to pick something up, so...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I hope they stick around. It'll be a real shame if you know, if they went down, then like what happens? The infrastructure probably, you can't have a mom and pop store in every city. Like it doesn't work that way. So yeah, I hope they keep it up.
Me too.
I enjoyed working there too. It's a good place.
Thank you for your question, Ryan.
Good question.
All right. So now I'm going to kind of run through this last little bit here. Squad up. If you are looking for people to play with online, you can tell us your gamer tag, your PSN ID, your Xbox Live ID, your Steam name, or your Nintendo friend code at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Today, we got two. I know we normally only do one. Lady Knight, who plays on battle.net, that's Lady Knight, #21331, says, I'm a console watch noob who migrated from PS4 to PC and would like to play fun and laid back matches of Overwatch and the upcoming Destiny 2 with the Kinda Funny best friends. If you would like to play with Lady Knight, you can friend her or him, them, at Lady Knight, #21331. And then because we both got a tweet and a message on the website about this, we're also going to give a shout out to Joe Medforth, who's playing on Nintendo Switch. Joe says, top of the morning to you, Danny and Andrea.
Jesus.
Or whoever's presenting today, if I got it wrong. Sorry,
I'm not
Tim.
Jack Septicai.
Tim's not here. I caved. I did it. My name is Joe Medforth, and after the global test fire and Splatfest, I gave in and pre-ordered a copy of Splatoon 2.
Ooh.
I resisted the spring limb, loaded embrace of arms, but the Squid Kids and their lack of 2017 part in game voice chat have me now. I never owned a Wii U, so I need some kind of funny best friends to squad up with and put up with my kind of competent Splat Duelies. I don't know what that means. Either that or play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe until my copy of Splatoon 2 actually arrives. Right. Shakes fist. Curse you, Rainforest Conglomerate, with 2-day free shipping. Thanks for keeping all the game news fresh. Stay groovy.
Oh my goodness.
All right, so Joe's Nintendo Switch friend code is 52573001653. Damn you, Nintendo, and your stupid friend codes.
Oh my god.
Let me do that one more time for Joe. 52573001653. Good luck, Joe. Happy splatting.
Do it.
All right. So
tell
that,
you what's wrong.
What?
Tell you what we got wrong.
Oh, yes. Tell us what we got wrong.
Missed one game on the list. Gigantic is out. It's leaving early access Xbox One and PC. That's that crazy squad shooter with the big, massive dudes. It's like Overwatch with giants. go check it out. It's been at like every PAX ever, I feel
True.
Like. So it's good.
It's been out for a while.
Good to see that getting out. We got another one. Apparently, this one's from a Lucid Dream, I think. You said each successive Nintendo console release, the library became bigger, which I agreed with. I thought that was the case. Well, here are the total number of US releases for each one. NES 662, SNES 719, N64 297.
Well,
and
I
then
mean,
GameCube 552.
Should we only count US releases, though?
It's probably relative. I mean, I can see that's it. N64 probably still dipped because of 3D, right? Like people were like, "Oh, how do we make games?"
So SNES had over 700.
Yeah, so that was the highest. So NES, SNES, and then N64 was like, polygons.
Polygons are hard.
And then GameCube was like, we figured it out. 5-5-2. So that was an interesting tidbit.
Okay, well, thank you for that correction.
Not bad. Pokemon Go came out on July 6th, 2016. Was the other one. And we've got one. Xanthar Sarah says, somebody in the chat, apparently, I think it was the underscore Danny Mac said, straight from the Shire, Danny O'Dwyer.
Ooh, I'm not that's, but you're not from the Shire.
No, I'm not from England or New Zealand, no matter how you cut that one.
I love the way that it rhymes, but yeah.
Straight from the Shire. I have an impossible name to make a nickname from. No one in school could ever do it. O'Dwyer, like what?
We'll figure it out. The kind of funny best friends are on the case.
Yeah, probably.
Danny, this has been fun.
Pleasure. We should do this more often. Who's this Greg Miller guy? Who's he?
Yeah, we don't need that Greg Miller. He just yells all the time.
We need Kevin, though. He basically runs the show.
Kevin, you want to co-host with us?
Yeah, sure.
Perfect. All right. Well, Danny, thanks again. You guys have a great weekend. Danny will be back tomorrow with Greg. Greg will be back.
He's going to be flying back as you're flying over.
Exactly.
People are crazy.
We're going to high five in the sky. It'll be great.
Don't do that.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Do it.
See you tomorrow.
And just shake hands.